And it was here that we seen a prophecy, and we're studying amazing Bible prophecies, but not one that we're really dealing with yet. We're going to kind of jump over it. But we read in Genesis 15, it begins in verse 8, where Abraham is asking how can he know for sure he's going to inherit the land that God promised. And then God makes an oath, swears to an oath to Abraham that he will inherit that land. And then he lists that land, the territory of that land, in verses 18 through 21. And this is that passage in the book of Hebrews that where it says, by two immutable things, that cannot lie, promised. And that is, he promised Abraham this land, and immutable, unchangeable. And there's two unchangeable things. Number one, God's word. When he says it, it's going to be. But then he swears to it with an oath. So that's the two immutable things, that Abraham will possess this land. And we're just discussing the different names you're supposed to remember. And the last word in Genesis chapter 15, a place, is what? It's actually a people, but it's a place. Jebusites. And this is actually the land of Canaan. And among the land of Canaan, Canaan had several sons, and one of them are the Jebusites. And that's one of the places I just asked you to remember. If you look at all those places, that whole place is the land of Canaan, because that's what was promised to Abraham. And there's several names there, but all of them are descendants in that area, the Amorites to the north, the Jebusites to the south, and then you can actually trace where the other ones are. And this is the land that God promised to Abraham. In the amazing prophecy of Genesis 15 is the fact that Abraham is going to die, his seed is going to be multiplied like God promised, and that it'll be 400 years before he brings his people, the nation, out of another nation, where they're going to be afflicted. And that has to do with Moses leading Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness unto the promised land, because here's a prophecy that before that ever happened, that it's going to be 400 years, and it also says four generations. And that's an interesting study that someday I'm going to show you, because it is interesting. But I'm getting to another prophecy in Genesis 22, but along the way, what we're looking at is we're really concentrating on territory. And what we've seen is that over there in Babylon, over there near Baghdad, 40 miles south, in the city called Hilla today, was a city called Babylon in Bible days, a place where Satan occupied and caused his rebellion, not in early days, from the garden. That's where the Garden of Eden was. It's also where the nations tried to make themselves a name, and they built a tower whose top might reach unto heaven and worship the stars rather than the Creator. So Satan has his seat in Babylon. But then God separated Abraham, who lived in Ur of the Chaldees. It's right here in that verse, isn't it? Verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, which is just south of where Babylon was. And God called out Abraham and promised him a land, and this is the land he promised him. So, and this is a land that we looked at and saw how it says in Deuteronomy that God's eyes are always upon this land. So it's a special place. And so we realize we're looking a little bit about geography. And one of the things in chapter 13, just go back there. By the way, when Abraham finally came to the land and walked around in the land, he built an altar in Bethel. Well, that's Bethlehem. Bethel, where's Bethel? Oh, it's north of that. Bethel. He built an altar in Bethel and called on the name of the Lord there. And twice he keeps going back to Bethel. So that's one of the places I want you to remember as well, Bethel there. And then in what you have in chapter 13 is, Abraham took Lot with him when they went there. And God actually separated in this chapter Lot and Abraham. They were both very rich. It says in chapter 13, verse 11, that they had to depart because the land couldn't sustain all of their livestock. So it says in verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated themselves one from another. Actually, Lot, where they were up in this area, separated himself. He came south and east. Down at the bottom of the Dead Sea is where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And that's where Lot ended up. Verse 12 says, "And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." And you're familiar with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 14, it says, "The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot had separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look toward the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abraham removed his tent and moved and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar unto the Lord." So he was up in this area. God said, get up, walk up and down to, you know, breadth of it, the length of it, all that land, that's all yours. So he moved his from where he was and he came down to Hebron down here in the plain of Mamre, and that's where you find Abraham here. Lot is down here. Now, one of the things that I pointed out to you, this is again review, is that after God, well, before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, God came and visited Abraham. But even before the destruction of that, when Lot was down here, he got taken captive by some kings that tried to conquer the land, and Abraham went and conquered those kings, and when he was coming back, he met Melchizedek, remember? King of Salem, and he was the priest, and it says, of the Most High God, and that's defined possessor of heaven and earth. If God is the possessor of heaven and earth, he can give that land to anybody he wants, and he's given it to Abraham, and that's what Melchizedek, he's the priest of the Most High God, and he blesses Abraham. And then Abraham gives him a tenth of everything he just took from the kings he conquered. And Melchizedek is called the king of Salem. And we saw in Psalm 76 that Salem is Jerusalem. So when Abraham was coming back, there came out from Jerusalem the king of Salem, who is also a priest, and met Abraham. And it actually blessed Abraham. So you see Jerusalem showing up. See, we're going Bethlehem, Hebron, and in the middle of that is Jerusalem. That area of land right there, not only is all this land God's eyes are upon it, this particular area is very unique and special to God. And it involves Jerusalem. Those are the things that I was pointing out to you that you might remember as we get a little closer and study something else. I think we're ready to go there. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Now here's an amazing prophecy showing you all those details about the land. I actually are showing you that because you're going to see some amazing things as we move past Genesis. But there's a lot of detail that you need to pick up in Genesis so that you'll appreciate when you see those things in other books of the Bible. But along the way, here's a side amazing prophecy that you just need to know about and be amazed with and rejoice in. In Genesis 22, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah." Now, some of you might be real familiar with this story, and if you're not, get ready because this is amazing. But at the same time, there's another detail I want you to pick up other than what you usually study when you study this chapter. Notice all the detail about where. For instance, I'll read it again. Now, just watch. I'm going to talk about the first four verses for a while here. "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and saying unto Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah." There's a special place he needs to go. "And offer him there." Don't offer him anywhere else. There. "For a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of." So the land of Moriah is a territory, and it will have several mountains in it. But there's one place, one mountain that he's supposed to go and offer his son on. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took his two young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God told him. Then on the third day, so wherever Abraham was, it took him 3 days to get there. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Oh, there it is. That's the mountain God wants me to go to. So, you see the importance, in fact, that's not just the importance at the introduction, it's the importance at the end, of not just what Abraham's going to do on that mountain, what God's going to teach Abraham on that mountain, but that very place is important to God. So, we want to talk a little bit about Abraham, and even when he says, thy only son, if you know something about Abraham, you know he has another son. Come over to chapter 16. Now, what you have, by the way, in Genesis chapter 12 through 21, all those chapters, they all center around 25-year delay of God's promise to Abraham. Back in chapter 12, if we pay attention to the early verses there, when Abraham finally, he didn't immediately come to this land. He actually went up to Haran, where his brother lived, and then God had to call him again to leave there and get down to the land of Canaan. And when he finally came to the land of Canaan, in Genesis 12, it tells us Abraham was 75 years old. And it's there that God promised Abraham that he was going to give him a seed. He's 75 years old. God's going to create out of him a nation, going to be the nation of Israel. But he's 75 years old, and his wife's barren. He's never produced a child, and so they don't have any kids. Chapter 15, he offered to adopt his head steward, his you know, top servant, that since he's the servant, if you own that man, when that man has a child, that child's yours just like the servant is. So he told God, I'll just, Eliezer's son, that'll be the seed. God said, no, he's going to come out of your bowels. So another 10 years or so go by, and they still don't have a child. And in chapter 16, it says, verse 1, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened unto the voice of Sarah, and Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. He's 85. She's, by the way, 10 years younger than him. Now she's 75. And so she's not thinking she's going to have any kids, so let's take this young maid, and you can have a child by her, surrogate child. He gave to her to be wife, and it says in verse 4, he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, that's when Sarah saw Hagar conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And verse 5, she's actually going to say to Abraham, look, it's either her or me. Which one's your wife? All of a sudden, this good idea turned into a bad idea because Hagar has the child. And now she realizes, oh, now this is going to cause a problem with me and my husband. And actually, she starts treating Hagar real bad, and Hagar runs away, and the angel Lord appears to Hagar and says, go back and submit yourself, and I'll bless you, and I'll bless the seed that's coming out of you. So Hagar goes back. But only for a while. So I wanted you to see Abraham does have another son. This son is Ishmael. Come over to chapter 17. In verse 1, it says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, so what's that, another 14 years go by? The Lord appeared unto Abram, it's going to be Abraham later in this chapter, Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now you realize why he said I'm the Almighty God, don't you? Now he's really, oh, I'm way past having kids. And my wife's now 89 years old, and she's not about to have a child, and God still hasn't given the promised seed. He wants Ishmael to be that promised seed, but God says, no, it's going to come out of your bowels, and it's now he establishes it's going to come out of Sarah's. Look at verse 19. 18, it says, And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. The child you produced in the flesh is not going to be it. See, this is why I always tell you, God created the nation of Israel. It's also the reason why when it talks about the nation needing born again, they're the only nation that was born of God in the first place. They were born first because God is going to give Abraham a wife through a son through Sarah, his wife. That son is going to be Isaac, and that son is going to be the one that's going to be not only the promise to him, but to his seed after him. That's going to be the nation of Israel. Isaac has Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons, the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Jacob's name got changed to Israel. So God's being real specific here, and then later on they'll have to have a second birth, and that'll be a birth of a spirit rather than just birth of the flesh. But anyhow, God's giving birth to this nation, and that's going to come through Isaac. And now, in all of that, come over to chapter 18, verse 1. Where is Abraham all this time? Well, chapter 18, verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto Abram, unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, this is where God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But the plain of Mamre, that's where he's in Hebron, in the plain of Mamre. Abraham's here. And God comes and tells him, I'm about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, which is down here. It's off the map. And God sends two angels and delivers Lot and his two daughters. His wife turned back and turned to salt. And then God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah out of heaven, by the way. Anyhow, Hebron, this is where Abraham's at. And God's appearing to him in chapter 18. Come over to chapter 19. No, make it chapter 20, because that's all about Lot there. Chapter 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. So Abraham eventually left this place here, and there's Gerar right there. So he went south and a little bit west, and now he's over here when you come over to chapter 20 and verse 1. But I also want you to see something else. Come over to chapter 21. Did I mark these verses or? Yeah. Verse 1. I'll read 1 through 5. Yeah, okay. Verse 1, it says, And the Lord visited Sarah, now it's Sarai, her name is, God enlarged upon Abraham's name and his wife's name, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac on the eighth, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. So here she is, 90 years old, finally has the child. Abraham has the child. He has Isaac. Now remember, we started reading, it says, Take thy son, thy only son. Well, he did have other son. And by the way, when Sarah dies, Abraham has 6 other sons and has a whole bunch of grandsons. He got married again, still had more children. But God, when God talks about the son, he talks about only one son, the one they promised him, Isaac. But here's how he ends up. In verse 9, it says, And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. Now, by the way, that's Ishmael. I didn't read over there his name. But this is Ishmael. And And he was born unto Hagar. It says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she bore unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now she's going to go down in the wilderness of Beersheba. So he's over here. She's going down to Beersheba here. And eventually, if I had the big map up, you know where Mount Sinai is between Egypt and the Promised Land. There's the Sinai Peninsula. When you look at the last verse, see, eventually she thought she was going to die, and God appears to her and encourages her that he's going to make out of Ishmael a great nation. And it says in verse 20, and God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Now where he went is down in that Sinai Peninsula just outside of Egypt. And that's where he lived, and God made him a great nation. And it tells you later in Genesis 25 that he gave Ishmael 12 sons. Isn't that interesting? Just like Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, had 12 sons. But Ishmael had 12 sons, and they dwelt in the Sinai Peninsula and in the Arabian Desert area. But this friction that was here between Sarah and Hagar, between Ishmael and Isaac, well, doesn't that explain a lot of what goes on in the world today? Not only do we realize that there's a problem between Babylon and Jerusalem to this day, but there's a problem between the Arabs and the Israelis today. Both of them are tribes, both of them are of God, but one is the one that God promised, and the other one is the work of man's flesh, and the flesh always afflicts the spiritual. And here it is. Here's another. You know what's going on in the world when you study Bible prophecy, and so you understand the problem not only between Israel and the Arabs, but also between Judaism and Islam. You realize it's 600 A.D. This Muhammad, who was a salesman, running around selling. You know, he knew some things about the Jews, and all he did is turn around the story about Isaac and Ishmael. Because in the Quran, it's Isaac is the illegitimate son, and Ishmael is the son that God promised, and his 12 sons are the real people of God, and we call them Muslims today. And Judaism saying, no, we're the people of God. And if someone would rightly divide the word of truth, they'd say both to Islam and to Judaism, you're both wrong. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're saved in Christ today, the body of Christ. But that's where you got to study the Bible and even know it dispensationally. Otherwise, you would be saying, oh, no, Israel's the people of God. Well, they will be the people of God because he'll keep his promise. But right now, he calls them enemies. And they crucified his son, and they haven't repented of that yet. So anyhow, you'll learn a lot from the Bible. But I also wanted you to see where they went, where Abraham is. One more thing here. In verse 25, still in chapter 21. Now, Abraham is now in a place that you're going to see. He's having trouble because he built a well, and the people of that land took over his well. Verse 25, it says, and Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. Now, remember, Abraham's a powerful man. His servants can be like an army. So they like Abraham in their land, but now they're fighting over this well. And Abraham's ready to do some battle with them, and so they come to an agreement. Verse 30, and he said, verse 30 says, and he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shall thou take of my hand. Now Abraham's going to pay him off here. So this well is going to be mine. You're going to take these 7 ewe lambs, He said, that they may be for a witness between me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called the place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. So there's going to be an agreement. No more problems between Abraham and Abimelech. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and Pascal, the chief captain of his host, and they returned unto the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Now the land of the Philistines is all along the border of the Mediterranean Sea. But where is he in that land? Where'd he go? Beersheba. There he is. He's right down here. Because now when you start chapter 22 and the Lord's going to call him to go somewhere, we know where he's leaving from, don't we? So that's what, part of that is all that. But there's something else there. When he built that altar in Beersheba, after he dug that well and he built that altar, he called on the name of the Lord, but he called God something, didn't he? The everlasting God. Because God promised him that land as an everlasting possession. And all we did is get to the first four verses. Now, our study last week and this week was to be where he's going. He's leaving that land to go somewhere else. There's only one bell because this is Donut Sunday, so I can't go any further. But boy, I sure want you to remember he's at Beersheba and he's calling on God, the everlasting God, because God made an everlasting promise to him. Remember this, so you got something out of today's study. The promise is going to be fulfilled through what son? His only son, Isaac. And what is God going to tell him to do in chapter 22? Kill him. Well, how can God be an everlasting God if he's got to kill the son that's going to be the everlasting promise? You think Abraham believes in resurrection? Yeah. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for opportunity to teach your word. And so often there's so many details that we just love seeing the overall and being thrilled about it. But even all these little places that are being mentioned have a purpose. And your eyes are always upon that land. And there's a promise that you're going to fulfill to Abraham, to that nation, in a place on this earth. And so we thank you for this opportunity and for the opportunity to come back and study more again next week if your son doesn't call us home to heaven before that. Bless now the time we fellowship together around coffee and donuts before we come back again to another study of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.